Welcome to Cannabis Business Minds Podcast with your host, Simone Samaluka-Radzevitz. Join me where I'll take you inside the ins and outs of this brand new and exciting business called cannabis. Connect with me on Calligia.com and follow us on social media as well. And here's today's show. Have you ever seen that little picture that looks like an iceberg, and it's the iceberg to success? Where, you know, it all looks super easy, that somebody was able to achieve creating an apple of a company, and it looked like it just happened overnight. Unfortunately, that's not a reality, and that's not a reality that many entrepreneurs face. The journey of an entrepreneur is a journey that a lot of people are afraid to take. And I've got to tell you, it's one of the best journeys I've ever been on, and I'm not done at all. But what I mean by that is that you're going to have uphill battles. You're going to have huge wins, huge success factors, and then you're going to feel the next day like you didn't accomplish anything. And when you're in cannabis and when you're in entrepreneurship, and I believe that everybody right now in this space is an entrepreneur in cannabis because it's such a new industry, you got to realize that we're in it for the long run. This is a game that, you know, really to make a lot of inroads and to build market and to make an impact, you can't achieve that overnight. And that's totally okay. And so on this episode of Cannabis Business Minds, I get the pleasure of talking with Adelia from DCN or Direct Cannabis Network. Adelia has been an entrepreneur for quite some time. I got to know her a few years ago, actually. I appeared on one of her shows, Coffee and Cannabis, and she has, you know, just the best vision, the best set of goals, and a great team. You know, she's really looking to help bring a lot of resources for entrepreneurs as it comes to information. And, you know, she is a leader, she's a pioneer in what she's doing, and she loves innovation. So on today's episode of Cannabis Business Minds, we chat about what it's like to be an entrepreneur. We chat about, you know, how do you create a mission statement? And we actually hear how she did it with her team, which is super interesting. That actually will help you get to where you want to be. We talk about setting goals, but we also talk about the evolution of her company and kind of the journey that she's had with her company. So guys, sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of Cannabis Business Minds. My name's Simone Samaluka-Radzins, and I'm your podcast host.
And that was a really big learning lesson, because it was almost like we had an identity crisis, because we were trying to be B2B, but we wanted to be more hip and modern. So we were kind of doing some things that were lifestyle. And after that year, I realized, you know, our voice wasn't that clear. You know, we had some things to work on. And so we regrouped, we got some valid feedback from people that we worked with, you know, people that were watching us, and took all that information, rebranded, and then officially came out in 2016. And that's when we started saying, you know, our little elevator pitch. We're Direct Cannabis Network is the leading digital B2B news network. We highlight the latest tech, entrepreneurs, and innovative companies in the cannabis industry. And yeah, so after that, it's been a journey. We really have our voice a lot more focused. We know exactly what we're trying to do. And what we are trying to do is we're creating an entrepreneurial ecosystem by content, you know, so we do editorial content. So articles, short videos, and then we have our own web series shows. And it's, you know, it's on entrepreneurs themselves. It's on technology. It's on companies raising funding, getting acquired, innovation. And then we do offer, you know, some business tips and advice, and we bring in, you know, entrepreneurs like yourself and get, allow them to really provide information for others to really learn what is going on in this industry. And I think the most important thing that we do, though, is we remind and we discuss the why. The why, you know, I got into this industry, the why you got in this industry. And I think it's important that we do that, especially as we grow and really become an industry. We don't want to forget this why. You know, I think it'll lose a lot of things and kind of that connection we all have right now.
Oh my God, that resonates so hard, especially, you know, because it's such a booming industry. There's a lot of people that see like, oh, I want to be part of this cannabis movement. And somehow, because I think we got in it right around the same time, like 2014. And
I remember when I got my mentor and he was like, well, he like gave me the lowdown. Like, do you not realize all the things that have happened, you know, from why is it prohibited, like just the social inequalities and the benefits of the plant and all of these things that, you know, I actually get really worried. I feel like a lot of times we don't ask why anymore, or the newer people. And so that's really good that you guys are working on that.
That's good. Well, that's good to hear. You know, I think, you know, one of the things too, with being a startup, we wear so many hats and we're always just going. So, you know, hearing that kind of feedback, it's good to hear and pay attention to make sure that we're still going in the right direction. Cause you know, we all pivot, we all make changes, and you just want to make sure that it's still consistent with your mission and your values and what you're trying to become and build.
So. Yes. Okay. And this is so perfect because I realized when I sent you the invite, I already knew what I wanted to talk to you about. It was like building an effective mission statement and setting goals. And I think that you are, every time I talk to you, you always have this very, you know, it seems like you've got this strategy kind of like lined up and you know what's kind of your driving mission. And so what is the mission? I mean, like sometimes I feel also as entrepreneurs, we have our personal mission of why we're doing something, and then we have this company mission. Can you talk a little bit about your mission, if it's just the Adelio mission and then the DCN, or are they the one in the same?
Yeah. Well, so our mission statement, I'll actually read that to you guys. So our mission is to create an entrepreneurial ecosystem that elevates the ideas, connects the communities, and raises the expectations of the cannabis industry. And to be honest, before we even came up with that, you know, we were, again, it was almost that lost thing. You know, we had an idea, we had a niche, we knew what we were doing. But right now, every time, you know, things go up and down, or every time we hit a hiccup or there's an issue, we look back at that mission statement, or maybe even, you know, we're getting approached to partner with somebody. Mm-hmm. We always need to look back at that mission statement to make sure, does it align with us? Does it, you know, does it do any of those things? Elevating the ideas, connecting communities, is it going to help us raise the expectations of the industry? Mm-hmm. And, so that's what our mission statement is. It took a couple meetings with the team to really create it. You know, I think the one thing was being a founder in the beginning, being the CEO, I have co-founders, but being the CEO, I took a lot of these different projects on my own, and I realized the missing part was the team. Like I have to do, like, yes. You know, I can only do this by, I can't do this by myself. And it's great for me to have that business plan and this and that. But when it comes to a lot of the other things, you need your team to really walk you through this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, Yeah.
You can't do it. You can't do it alone. And I think that having that, if you don't have a mission statement, it's so easy in this space to get derailed. I mean, honestly, like with the tech team or with Calogia, because I do consulting and then, you know, we have the tech platform. Literally, it's always like, well, is this the same problem that we're trying to solve? And we're like, yes, it is. Okay, we are on the right track. Because it's very easy at these early stages of business, which we're still all in, to make sure that it aligned with why you originally started and got the team and got the drive and got the, you know, desire to do something.
And so I guess too, I kind of made some comments on that because I think it's important to showcase that this was a process. You know, we went back into breaking it down. We first started with our core statements, who's our audience, how we're going to, you know, how we do what we do and why. And then we answered all those questions. And then we kind of came up with keywords for all of those things and then just made like a sentence into what that mission statement was. And it was really cool to kind of, you know, see your team members come up with something that you're like, wow, like this little idea was in my head and, you know, you're just as passionate as I am and you're even seeing it differently than I do. And we came up with this mission, you know?
Yes. Oh my God. That's so cool. So how did you find your team? I think that's also a big issue that a lot of founders have is like, how do I find the right team?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the beginning, I found some of them through Craigslist.
That's awesome.
I promise. Yeah. Actually, Lucia, who's still a part of DCN, she's one of my business partners. I found her through Craigslist, and you know, and she decided to try it out. She was working with the FDA, and she was also a cannabis patient, and she saw the post and was like, hey, let's try this. You know, she couldn't really tell the company she was working with what she was doing at the time. And, but you know, and so, I found her through that. A couple of the other team members, we have, you know, parted ways. Mm-hmm. But then we actually also found Steven, who handles all of our digital media, mm-hmm. through posting on, I believe it was Angel's List. We actually just posted the position on a couple different platforms. And the funny thing with him is he applied to us 3 times. And I did not, like, I don't know what happened, but that 3rd time was a charm, I guess. Like, it was the funniest thing, because he was like, yeah, I actually kept applying to you guys. You know, every few months I would see something, and I don't know if it was the videos he first sent to us or what it was, but the 3rd time, like, he got our attention, and it was just perfect timing. You know, it was really good to see how he could vibe with us, and he recently moved back to San Diego. Mm-hmm. So that worked out great. And then, you know, we have contributors, and we have writers, and those we found just through word of mouth and LinkedIn.
Yep. So, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But it's so funny. I was just like thinking, it's like, especially when you're in a startup, I would say every founder, like once you've figured out your mission and you got the, it's like Jim Collins, like good to great. Like you want to make sure you've got the right people on the bus who are just as passionate about it as you that can kind of move it forward. That's so cool. He applied 3 times.
Yeah. I felt bad when he told me that.
You're like, oh, well, the germ.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. And I really like that way that you kind of dissected the mission statement. A lot of times I'll be working with people that are like, oh, I just want to make all this money, or I want to do this. But it's like, yeah, but why are you doing this? And that's a very interesting way of how you did it too. I like it. Yeah. Did you whiteboard it out or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm one of those. I'm a whiteboard visual person, you know?
Me too. It's like you can have it in your head, but the moment at least my hand goes to paper, it's so much clearer.
Yeah, it is. I think everybody, even if you're still in your, you know, when we launched DCN, it was in my bedroom and I have a whiteboard. I think I have two now in my room still. We did move into our new space. And so there's, I think, 3 different whiteboards over there as well. And we're trying to get an even bigger one.
Yes. Well, you know what I had in my office just on the whiteboard discussion? We got whiteboard paint. So we literally painted one entire wall. As a whiteboard. Yeah. And so it's really, you just need to remember where the stopping is. But that would be really cool. And so what's up with your office? So tell me, tell me more about this.
It was such an exciting moment. But I have to be, you know, honest, it was also one of the hardest moments too, because October and November, you know, we weren't really making any revenue. So it was very stressful. We didn't really have much money in the bank to be. And then, you know, and then we signed our lease, we had to move in. Thank goodness we had the deposit and rent. But we, you know, we kind of we're still bootstrapping it, but that was the hardest moment to move in, to our space, but we made it work and we budgeted everything. We had to redesign the whole office. So this building was older. Mm-hmm. We got a great deal, but it needed work.
Yep.
We spent a week painting the walls, taking out carpet.
What?
They were like grinding the floor, the cement.
Oh, wow.
Like epoxy, I guess it is, on the flooring. We had a workout for a whole week. We were under... and just focusing on redesigning this.
Oh, wow. But I saw the photos and they look, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to go down to San Diego.
I know. Yes. Wow. You always have an invitation. It's good. So we have, it's our company, Direct Cannabis Network. And then we're sharing a space with Event High as well. So the software company. And it's 2 offices, a conference room, a little luncheon, a bathroom, and a small storage area.
Wow.
We've moved up a little. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. Congratulations on that. That's exciting. No, I was just interviewing some Jackie from the California Bands, and she gave me a tour because I did on Zoom. She gave me a tour of her office. And it's their building. And I'm like, oh my God, I want to do something down like in Southern California, this crazy ecosystem. And like, I think about it for you guys. It's so perfect that you're teamed up with Event High because it's like this, like almost this think tank, right? So hopefully people can come see you guys, go see people from Event High, you know, get some other people in. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. We're really, it's pretty cool. You know, we've had some people that actually were trying to look for a different business and walked into our office and were like, oh wait, I've seen that logo. And like, that was really cool. We were like,
oh yes. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Especially in San Diego. But I think, you know, the ecosystem, having, you know, another company there or just a couple other entrepreneurs working in the same space is very beneficial for everyone. You need to strategize. You need to, even if you're two different companies in two different moments, it's good to kind of see where each other are, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, especially in this space where everything's changing. Even if you're not a cannabis operator, you're still working with cannabis operators. The laws are changing. Like everything that exists in 2017 will hopefully exist in 2018, but it's going to be a completely different variation.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
Okay. So I want to ask you about goals, but I want to get into kind of just when I was checking out your website, like what for you are the most, you're doing all of these awesome programs, you have all this content. And so you get this new lens into kind of innovation and what's happening, you know, in the marketplace. And so I'm just curious, like what are you excited about that's happening right now in the cannabis industry?
I think what excites me is the changes. You know, before, you know, I think the beginning of last year, we were seeing a lot more of the same kind of software companies and app companies coming out. You know, a lot of people trying to be like Weed Maps or a lot of POS systems. Mm-hmm. And I think now it's starting to pivot and people are really getting creative and thinking even a little bit more innovative. Instead of doing something that's already been done, they're trying to fill a need elsewhere. So one of the great products that came out, the beginning of this year, even end of last year, the Levo Oil, the at-home machine, where you can actually,
know about this.
So it almost looks like a Keurig, but what you can do is you can, you put butter or oil and you put your flour and it goes on at your house and you can actually make your own cannabis oil for like your own personal use.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It doesn't smell. So you don't have to worry about your neighbors. It takes a few hours, but a lot less hours than you trying to do it on your stovetop.
Yeah.
We tested it out and it was actually a really cool, innovative thing that I'm like, you know, patients can actually utilize this and really benefit from it and not worry about the house smelling or, you know, people knowing what's going on. It's just, you know, they're just trying to medicate themselves and, you know, they can actually create their own cooking butter or oil for their food.
Shit, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So cool because, I mean, even like think about it, like if somebody wanted to grow, theoretically, you could make your own edible at home if you don't sell it in 2018. You go get the clones, you grow your own cannabis, you harvest it, you dry it, and then you put it in this little thing, and then you can make something. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I had never heard of that.
And it looks pretty. It's modern, techie. I have a feeling 2018 is going to be that, the more in-home personal kind of use of things.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, the cultivation aspect, there's so much technology happening in there. And what I love about that is that it's actually making a change in agriculture. So these things that they're thinking of, and, you know, I'm not a full expert into that realm of the technology aspect, but what I hear and what I've been seeing, it's just like, so I guess how to explain it. So at MJ BizCon, actually, that'll be a perfect example. I saw this, this big booth, you know, it was very intense. And I sat and talked to the guy and he's like, oh yeah, you know, we, are working with every Kroger grocery store, we do the little sprinkler machines. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. So why are you here? You know, like, what are you doing here? That wouldn't benefit us. And he started showing me some new products that they are actually, that they developed specifically for cannabis. Mm. And he was like, you know, these humidifier, not humidor,
dehumidifiers?
Yeah. I think it can like actually tell you if there's issues going on in the air system of your cultivation.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know the correct terminology on that, but they've developed this new technology that they're using, and they're first testing it out in cannabis. And then he was telling me, you know, this is the first step. And then once we tweak it, we can actually see if it can be used in other areas in agriculture.
Wow.
So that conversation has happened quite a few times, you know, so it's going to, I think, change up things in agriculture, and hopefully it can help, mm-hmm. you know, maybe boost things back up. And
gosh, yeah. Well, I feel like I don't want to go onto a negative note, but it just transitioned kind of well. I was at this like tech mixer a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago now. And this guy he does granola bars, and he does the Tom's List sustainable model, where, you know, the very amazing program. I actually don't know what company it is. They give back. So then they'll go donate whatever half the proceeds were, some amount, and they'll go to Africa and actually build communities, like teach certain things, and I think provide food. And I was like, God, that's so interesting. And then we clearly got on this crazy tangent. And by 2030, there's going to be a global food crisis. And so if the cannabis industry, because it's a new industry and there's innovation and there's people that are thinking, hey, you know what, I need to make more money by increasing my cannabis yield. Good for that, because if that can be applied to, hey, how can I increase my blah, blah yield that we're eating? That's a huge thing.
Yeah, it really is.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so that's actually, yeah, that's a really good outlook on that. And I really believe, you know, if we can continue that route, it can definitely do that and limitate. And, you know, even with like lessening the amount of intake they're using for water, they're starting to utilize that. And again, that can be replicated into other fields. So we'll see. I'm excited to see where this goes with the innovation aspect. And, you know, as you know, this is a global industry. So we are going to see so much different technology and innovative things coming out there. So,
right. No, it's like, it's so very exciting. So then what are you focused on, like 2018, 2019? Like, what are your main things that you're doing as a CEO and entrepreneur?
We're going to go back into fundraising.
Nice.
So getting, put that hat back on. You know, I think our team has really built the structure and stability we need right now to where I can go for a few months and just focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
That would allow for us to be able to really scale and hire more people. The hardest thing right now is, you know, to some people they may not realize it, but we are a really small team. And so a lot of us are wearing so many hats, like I'm sure the same on your end, and it's tough. And, you know, we can only do that for so long, where I have to make sure that we don't burn out. You know, I can't have my team burn out. I can't burn out. So fundraising is a big one for next year. We're also changing things up in our content.
Exciting.
Yeah. Not in the sense of, I guess, topic wise, but what I've realized is that we only know who we know. And, you know, when we bring in guests and speakers, again, it's only who we know. Yeah. So we're going to be putting it out to the audience every quarter, letting them know, you know, next quarter, we're going to be talking about XYZ topics. Who do you think is an expert, and tell us why?
That's awesome.
That's
a really good approach. Because it's like, we just do it by accident. Like, we don't even realize. It's just like, you're like, oh, I know my network. Let me, you know, reach out to somebody in my network that could solve this problem. But then it's recirculation. It doesn't allow somebody who might have amazing expertise kind of get in.
Exactly. So we want to open doors. We want to really be able to highlight people that, you know, that just may not have that recognition or may not have that voice yet, but that has been wanting to build their voice. So that's one of those things with the change.
We have to collab on this, because it would be really fun. Actually, maybe let's like offline this, but I interview now one entrepreneur that I don't know at all. And that's looking for help, that's trying to tell their story, that doesn't have a platform, because I would have loved that. You know what I mean? So let's try to collaborate on something fun.
We'll have to figure it out. I think there could be something.
Yeah.
I think even if we, yeah, I know. Well, I'll, yeah,
right, my, so my nobody on the podcast needs to hear.
Yeah.
2018.
Exactly. Exactly. Cool. But I like that. 2018. We're going to do it.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So you're shaping up a different way of content. You know, you're in fundraising mode. Market acquisition, are you still focused just in California, SoCal, or are you thinking kind of more globally? What's all that about?
We're definitely looking globally. So we're looking at building relationships and partners outside of the US, again, to whether we can collab on creating content or they could at least just introduce us to entrepreneurs. The one thing I've also realized is I've gotten some messages on Instagram or emails, and mm-hmm. they're just saying, you know, nobody's giving us a voice in this country or mm-hmm. in this area. And for me, I try, you know, every weekend I spend time Googling, and I will Google all the way to the 10th page and it still brings me back to a US company. I don't know. It's just the way Google, and I don't know what it is on the back end or what words I can use to really find them.
Oh, interesting.
But it's been very tough trying to find companies outside of the US. You know, except, you know, Canada. Canada's pretty easy, but mm-hmm. other in Europe and Africa and just so many different areas. Yes. And so we're really trying to partner with other organizations that are globally so we can find these startups, these entrepreneurs, and again, give them a voice.
Yes.
So yeah, so global would be great. And that again, will just be through the content. I don't think we're going to be really changing too much with the actual content. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, really getting new people in.
And I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, and interesting, though, from a global perspective, so somebody just randomly from Pakistan reached out. He was like, on Facebook, he was like, hey, he's in the podcast group. And he was like, hey, like, can we try to open up Pakistan? I was like, yes, I would love to end global cannabis prohibition. But I think what happens, and this is what I noticed just living in Europe, it's like, we're entrepreneurs, especially in California and on the West Coast, right? Yeah, and yeah. A lot of countries don't tend to have, and I don't get why, and I'd love to figure out if we could change this, that mentality, because it's just weird, like, why they don't. And then also, so many of those places are still, it's completely illegal. Like, yeah. Completely, right? But, like, but there's definitely the market there, you know? There's mm-hmm. definitely the interest. But I was watching this, and I'll put it in the link to the show notes and also send to you, very interesting video about in Korea and in Japan, this blogger started interviewing people. It's like the Asian, I don't know what it is. It's this guy, I don't know. It's all this Asian community, and they go and talk to people about kind of controversial subjects, and they kind of interview them. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, asking the South Koreans, like, you know, what do you think about cannabis? They're like, well, it's prohibited by the government, so it can't be good. Like literally it was that level of, oh, the government said this, and so I'm yes. going to follow that. And then he then kept asking, well, why do you think this? Why do you think this? And it was interesting to kind of watch that they were like, well, you're right. I've actually heard in America that it's really fun. And if it were legal, I would try it.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're not even questioning it too, which is another thing.
They're not questioning it at all. And that was the same in Japan.
Yeah.
And so it's curious. And then when I was talking to the Facebook guy in Pakistan, I asked the same thing. And he was like, well, it's too hard to convince. He was convinced, but he was like, it's too hard to convince kind of the general population. Okay. So please continue working globally, because it really, like, really from a PR, because what you guys do, it's great because you do the health benefits of it. You're not just B2B. And mm-hmm. so the content, I really think, to open up new countries really is all about, oh, did you know that could help you? Or didn't you know that it helped, you know, a South Korean person in America and all that stuff? So please continue the global outreach.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, just having this conversation, and again, it's probably something we can have offline, but we've said it before. I think there's definitely lots of synergy for us to work together and really.
Girl, we got to offline this, but yes, we like like roll up our sleeves and be like, okay, how are we going to change the world together? Because, yeah, we're not a media platform at all.
Yeah, we have kind of
the same vision. So yes, we definitely have to. But so one thing also that I admire about you that I really want to talk about is goals. It seems that, you know, you've got a methodology for, you know, setting goals. It seems like you always know what's one step ahead. And so I guess I don't want to leave it too broad to be like, tell me about your goal setting, but, you know, how have you been able to see that setting goals is important to getting results?
You know, I think it was really a year ago that this kind of all set in, and it started with really just the whole like manifesting little things in my life personally. And I started seeing how that worked. And I was like, well, maybe if I start doing that with my business and be a little bit more strategic, and, you know, I had these bigger goals, mm-hmm. And I was only celebrating these big, huge goals, and they don't come as often, you know? So you go through all these hard times, and then finally you made that one goal. And I realized, okay, like life, I should make little ones, you know, make little goals and celebrate each of them as they come. And so I mean, I guess I'll break it down in just an overview sense, I think is the best way. So I first had to decide, you know, what do we want to achieve? And that started with the big ones. Then I looked at, okay, well, what little milestones do we need to hit to even get to that level? Mm. And you just go backwards in a sense and break it all down. Yep. And then obviously that's writing it down or making it visual and then putting it down to paper and then talking it out and voicing it, you know, whether it's with your team, your spouse, even yourself, just saying it out loud. And then, you know, go down and get to that first step and start it, you know, and figuring out when you want to make those celebrations, because I think the hardest thing is having these goals and not celebrating them. Or I think the one thing too I want to say with that is even celebrate the failures when you don't hit those goals.
Yeah.
Because I think that was this year has been very tough for me.
I think all of us. Continue. I just want to know, I'm there with you.
Somebody told me that this year is the year of learning. And I was like, heck yes, it has been a year of learning. Like, I have learned so much about myself that, I think I say this a lot, and we'll be speaking about it at your Women's Empowerment Summit, the good, the bad, and I say the sleepless, because that's really kind of how my life has been this year. You know, it's long hours, up and downs, but it's been such a big learning lesson, and I've realized that with my goals, sometimes I'm going to hit them and sometimes I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I have to be accepting no matter what way it goes, you know, and just figure out if I don't hit it, what can I do to either hit it next time, or to, how do I have to change that goal to where it actually gets us to the big goal still?
100%.
Yeah.
And I also think this, I mean, we're millennials as much as we think we are or we're not, but I am very impatient, right? Like, I wanted to change the world yesterday.
Right.
And so I was talking with one of my advisors, and she was like, well, what you just told me, which was like to end global cannabis prohibition, but it's by 2030. Like, I wrote that down a long time ago. She's like, this is a 15-year goal. And so it's good sometimes, and I love your exercise because it helps people remember that what you want to achieve will be achieved. It just takes some time.
Yeah.
I think that's the hardest thing for millennials. It's like, we want to like, well, because we see this, for me, it seems, if you just kind of dissect it, it's like you see not a fake reality, but you see bigger companies and you see, you know, companies with large marketing budgets and all of these things that took a long time to get there. And I think that people think just that the part, what we were talking before we started recording, is that there is a hustle to starting up a business. Yeah. And that hustle is not 60 days. Mm-mm, no. That hustle, how long do you think you've seen the pyramid, right? Like the pyramid of success.
Mm-hmm.
Or the iceberg of success, I think, or what it is, or the hustle one, or the mountain. But what do you think, like, what can you comment on to like help me have this conversation with people? It's like, this success does not happen overnight.
Yeah. I think there's definitely a variety of things. You know, we were lucky. We were able to get a little bit of seed funding, and you know, we thought that would be enough to kick things off, to be able to after have a stable revenue model. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the case at all. You know, it was still very hard. And so, you know, I think there's a couple different things. What we were talking about before we started recording was, I just started my first another side gig, but it's a little bit different than the other ones. The other ones are more consulting or dog walking or random. You're going to have random side jobs. This one is Amazon Flex, and I go and pick up boxes and have to deliver them to people, the houses. So, you know, it's not what it always seems to be. I think the one thing, a lot of entrepreneurs see things on Instagram, on social media, hear people's successes. We only talk about the successes. Yes. Nobody talks about the failures or just the reality, you know? And so I think that's one thing that needs to be recognized is you're going to be hustling. You're going to be having to, as the CEO, pay your team, pay your company first before you ever get a paycheck. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not going to happen overnight. What this is, Our pilot was in 2015. We're in 2017 now, and we're now just becoming stable and with our revenue model. So it definitely takes time. And I think it's just, we need to all just start reaching out, talking about our failures, talking about the reality it all is, because it's not all perfect. And, you know, no matter how much we think it is, we're all in the same boat too. You know, I think we have to be strong and show that we got this, my company's doing great. But at the end of the day, you know, we will all have that bad day where we're like, God, do I want to quit? Like, can I handle this today? Yes. And with that note, I will say, and I think we've talked about it before, you know, give yourself 48 hours.
Yeah.
Totally feel, be depressed, cry, whatever you want. And then suck it up and being like, okay, yeah, that was tough. That sucked. Mm-hmm. Now let's do it again. Yes. let's move forward.
Yes. And I remember, like, 'cause you said that the first summit, and I remember I had this like really just shitty day a while ago. And I was just like, what is going on? Like I was like, no, give myself 48 hours.
Yeah.
And it's just to refresh your mind because things don't always happen the way that you want them to happen. And because you can't control everything, you can only control your life, and you hope that you can help and inspire your team, but that's kind of it. Yeah. No, that's really, I mean, it's powerful. And also I wish we couldn't call them failures, you know what I mean? Because they're learning opportunities, and
that's true.
And they suck, and they're costly. I've had, you know, and you only know what you've been taught, or if you have a mentor who's taught you, or in business, right? And so I think that you can't compare. Oh, I was like, where did it go? Oh, my calendar thing. You can't compare yourself to perfection. And I think that a lot of entrepreneurs seem that they want to hit that success perfection the day one that they started. And then this ties back, because we got to wrap this podcast up. I'm so sad. I'm like, I have to get you on the next one. You have to know your mission. You have to know your mission, because in the end, you know, is that for me, that's kind of what keeps me going.
Yeah. 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 That's the one. Yeah. That is a perfect way to circle that back around. It is. You have to have, and with that though, have it on, you know, have it in front of you somewhere, have it on the wall, have it where you can just always see it, because you need to visualize it. And, you know, you can remember it in your head, but you just look up and it's over there on the wall too. It's just that reminding.
Oh, that's such a good point.
Yeah. So
what's been your biggest lesson learned in 2017?
Oh, my biggest lesson learned. I think it was, you know, being a woman founder, just seeing how the industry is, yes, there is a lot of opportunity for women in this industry, but you still have to work hard. You still have to work just as hard or even harder. I mean, even harder. You have to work even harder, like we were in any other industry, for women, no matter what it is. And I think my biggest lesson was not being so judgmental on myself, you know, not looking at the competition and being like, well, why aren't we there yet? Or why is this and that? Because as we come to the end of this year, I've taken a step back and I was like, look, like I may not have the budget that our competitors have. I'm like, but our voice is just as strong. You know, people know us just as much as they know them. And I'm like, I have to give myself credit. I have to give my team credit. Like, that's pretty cool. You know, like we just moved into an office. Like, we're not in my room anymore. We're not working remotely all the time. Like, I still get to work from home, but it's, you know, it's not like we're trying to meet at coffee shops. We have a little space now. So I think it's just, you know, going with the punches and not being such a hard critic on myself. On that end, as business, I think would be.
Oh, that's so good. And then what's been your biggest success? Like, what has been the one thing that you're like, yeah, man, like 2017, yes, you were the year of learning, but yes, this is something huge. I mean, the office is a huge thing.
Yeah, the office is a huge thing. You know, I think we're ending the year being viewed in all 50 states. And now I think
we're at,
thank you. And 154 countries.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And this is all organic. Like, we don't have a marketing budget. Wow. Yeah. So this is word of mouth or people finding us or searching for certain words that we're talking on. So, I look at that as huge for us.
That's
you know?
So significant. That is so significant. Okay. Before we wrap up, do you want to do the speed round?
Sure. Why not? Let's do it.
All right. So what is one piece of advice that you would give somebody just getting into the industry?
One piece of advice, I would say, you know, really look within yourself and find out what it is you want to do. If you cannot keep a plant alive, you probably shouldn't go and try to grow cannabis. You know, you probably shouldn't become a grower. So just really look within yourself and see what are you an expert in and bring that to the table, you know, and be authentic.
Yes.
You can do it. I think that way. Yeah.
What is one word that, not one, but a few words that would make us understand, like, why do you hustle? Like, what's your drive? Like, what keeps you going every day?
Oh, I think it's just, you know, really honestly seeing how much I've changed as an individual. Like, this entrepreneurship stuff has made me do so many things that I never thought I was capable of. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, how far can I do this? You know, what else is going to come next? You know, I think the second one would just be seeing just how much DCN has grown. You know, this was in my head and now look at it. That I think is really the real goal. But I think, you know, personal is just like seeing like how much I've grown.
Yes. Oh my God. No, totally. Yeah. 154 countries is huge.
Yeah.
I'm like, go girl. And then last, which we kind of talked about, but I guess, you know, goal wise, what's your goal from 1 year from now? Personal or work goal?
My goal 1 year from now is to really just have a sustainable revenue model, not having to, so that I can actually hire and take off some of the weight for my team. That would be the biggest one that I think I would want to have. I know I should probably be thinking analytics and numbers, but that comes with, you know, having a stable revenue model.
Yes.
is having those numbers and those clients. So.
Yeah. Oh, totally. No, that's like so perfect. Well, Adelia, thank you so much
for joining
Cannabis Business Minds. And if anybody has not been on Direct Cannabis Network, you must go. It's directcannabisnetwork.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's
and
it.
And connect with Adelia on Calogia on LinkedIn.
Yes.
And you also have a Facebook group, right?
Yeah. It's Direct Cannabis Network as well. You could find it on there.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
and I'll
you.
See you soon.
Yes, we'll chat.
Okay. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. What a good interview with Adelia. So, you know, as she mentioned, we're doing the Cannabis Women's Empowerment Summit. And I would invite anybody to, you know, if you're a woman, it's only open to women, but any woman entrepreneur, like if you're interested in connecting with a ton of fantastic women, if you're interested in having 2 days of full leadership training and business training from some of the top minds, not only in cannabis, but other businesses, then definitely check out our Women's Empowerment Summit. You can go to calogia.com, go to our event section and register there. But make sure that you do it soon because we have limited space and the space is running out. So I hope that I can see everybody there. But, you know, as I wanted to demonstrate with Adelia, there's a ton of amazing things that entrepreneurs are able to accomplish, and how they accomplish it
is not this quick game. No, in fact, it's a very long game. It's a long game to understanding what your mission is, what your long-term goals are, and how you're going to reach those long-term goals. And, you know, she's been clearly able to demonstrate with all the cool things that she's been able to do with DCN and her team. And I'm so excited to see where she's headed next. And so make sure that you definitely subscribe to their website. Great information, great team. And thank you all so much for listening to Cannabis Business Minds. I'm your podcast host, Simone Samaluka-Radzins with Kalogia. Connect with me on kalogia.com and we will talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to today's show. This is your host, Simone Samaluka-Radzins of kalogia.com. I hope that you find this episode entertaining and insightful. My goal is to educate all of you about this exciting business because knowledge is power. If you haven't already, head on over to kalogia.com to connect with me and to meet other business leaders in the professional cannabis community. Also, if you like this, please go into iTunes and leave the Cannabis Business Minds podcast a 5-star review. See you next episode.